All right, amen. Thank you, Sister Tracy, for a great special this morning. And, folk, I'm telling you what, day and time we live in, we got to keep praying. I'll assure you. And indeed, it is good to see you today. I'm glad that you've come to be a part again of our service. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. Last week, I started what's just going to be a little short series on the subject of conviction. Conviction. Conviction is a noun that describes a state of being and thought and actions. Conviction can be defined as a strong belief in or about something that is based upon the Word of God and His teachings and principles and precepts, and will be an unchanging, immovable belief and stand for the cause of God. Now let me read you that again, okay? When we have conviction, when we are convicted about something, when it is our conviction, we have a strong belief in or about something that is based upon God's Word and His teaching and principles and precepts. And it's going to be an unchangeable, immovable belief and stand for the cause of God. Now, I used, as I began last week, the comparison of a conviction versus a preference or a convenience. Okay? We have vast numbers of Christians today that claim to be Christian, very possibly are saved. I'm not going to judge their salvation. And their service for God, excuse me, is based upon convenience and preference. And it's not based upon conviction. Folk, everything we do in our service for God, our worship of God, will be based upon our convictions or the lack thereof. Convictions. We desperately, in our world today, need Christians and churches that will have some convictions based upon the Word of God and will stand for those convictions, irrelevant of the consequences that might come our way because of that. When we have godly based convictions, when we have convictions that are truly that, they become immovable, unchangeable convictions and beliefs based upon the Word of God. When we do those things and we see those things, folks, it's not going to be the most popular stand among society in the day and time that we live. It just will not, all right? And that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Last week, I began talking about convictions, and we looked at the person Daniel of the Old Testament. Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. It's a book of prophecy. After you get past chapter 6, it gets into some very detailed and deep theological prophecies concerning the future and various kingdoms that are going to be a part in God's plan and have been and will be and such as that. But in the first 6 chapters of the book of Daniel, it's extremely, immensely practical teachings for you and me about conviction. And we looked at the conviction of Daniel. We know that on 2 different occasions in the life of Daniel, his conviction was challenged in a great and mighty way. He was taken by the Babylonians, he and probably tens of thousands of other young Hebrews, when the Babylonians in about 586, 587 BC came in and they conquered Israel. They conquered Israel. They took all of the young and the healthy and the intellectual, the educated. They took them back to the west to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, to get you a bearing as far as location is concerned. And they took them there and they put them through a 3-year course of training. brainwashing, infiltration of their mind, to make Babylonians out of them, Chaldeans. They taught them the language. They taught them the culture. They taught them the laws. And they took them there and used them. Now, everybody else in Israel, and especially in and around the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, they left the older folks, they left the sickly, they left the cripples, they left those that were not desirable for what they wanted, and they left them to live in the absolute squalor of defeat. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the walls. They destroyed the temple. The peoples, they just lived in the what the Babylonians abandoned after they had just pillaged and ravaged the place. And it was an extremely difficult time. Well, real quickly, we know that Daniel was taken with his other companions, and there are three of those that are mentioned, and we're going to talk about them today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, those are Babylonian names that they were given. When they took them into Babylonian, they even changed their name. Now, Daniel is his Hebrew name, and I use his name, Daniel, because that's what we're familiar with. I use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because that's what we're familiar with for his three companions among the tens of thousands. But these are the four that are mentioned specifically. We know that Daniel, they were going to feed them with the sumptuous fare of the kings of Babylon. And they were going to eat just the very best of what they had. But that food that they were going to be giving them violated the Hebrew dietary laws as given by God. And so Daniel refused to eat the stuff. His conviction would not let him violate God's will for his life. They lived 3 years on vegetables and water while everybody else is eating the good stuff, all right? But the good stuff violated God's law for them. And so they refused to do that. We know in the end of the end result was that they looked better than all the others. They were more healthy, they were fatter, they were bigger, they were better, they were more healthy. And then much later in life, we saw Daniel once again put on the spot by, he was promoted because of his expertise and God's blessings of his conviction. And Daniel was promoted by the king of Nebuchadnezzar at this time, and he was promoted. And when he got into his older age, the Medes and the Persians had taken over, and he was still in a very high-ranking position. And so some of his underlings, who were not Hebrews, didn't like him, and they challenged the king. They said, King, we want you to, we're going to make a decree, we're going to make a law, and it's going to be that nobody can pray to anybody but you, King, for 30 days. 30 days, King, nobody prays to anybody but you. Well, Daniel was accustomed to praying to God. He was accustomed to praying to God. And so when he heard that, the king signed the decree, and once he signed it, it was law. There wasn't any changing it. And once he heard that and such, preference, he could have said, well, you know, I hate to wait 30 days to pray, and I hate to wait 30 days to you know, break up my routine of prayer and such as that, but you know, the king said, that's what preference would have said. Conviction by Daniel caused him every day, three times a day, just like he had always done, to open the windows and the doors of his place of abode, facing to the west toward Jerusalem, and every day he would get out on his knees before God. The whole world could see him, and he prayed to God Almighty. Well, the consequence of that was he was thrown in the lion's den. The blessing of that was God blessed his conviction, and the old lions just laid there and never bothered him in the least. Those old hungry lions went without another meal when it could have been Daniel. God closed their jaws. We saw the conviction of Daniel, and we saw the great blessing of God because of that conviction. Let's read this morning in Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. And we're going to read about those three companions of his. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. This is still under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. Notice that's a little g plural. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Heavenly Father God, grant me preaching grace this morning. Thank you for the privilege. Rebuke Satan. Remove all hindrances this morning, all distractions. Let us open our hearts and minds to your word. And Lord, if there's a need among any in this congregation this morning, I pray that they will do what they need to do today to honor you. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We see the three Hebrew children here answering Nebuchadnezzar. Now, to set the scene and to make that make sense, we need to go back to chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm not going to read nearly all of that. It'd take much too much time this morning. But the account that leads up to what we've just read, and we'll explain that a little more in just a second, was that Nebuchadnezzar was pretty high on himself. He was the king of Babylon. Babylon was the world power of this particular time. He was indeed an extraordinarily powerful, prestigious man. When Nebuchadnezzar said it, it happened. Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride, in his arrogance, in his self-conceit, made a statue. Now, the scripture doesn't tell this specifically, but almost certainly, this was a statue of himself that the people were going to have to bow down to and worship. This statue was made of gold. It was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, folks, that's a big statue, all right? To get you an idea when you leave, look at the flagpole out here. It's 30 feet tall. 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, covered in gold. And the decree was made by Nebuchadnezzar, folks, when you're in and around the city and there where it was at, and when you hear the music play, they had musicians at that time. When you hear the music play, when certain music was played, everybody was to stop what they were doing, wherever they were, turn toward that massive statue that you could see from miles away, and they were to bow down to that and worship that golden image. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told of this. And the consequence of not doing it was that you were going to be executed. Their particular form of execution at this time was to heat up a great mighty furnace, and they would throw you in there and just burn you up. The horrors of being thrown alive, tied up into a flaming fire that would very shortly consume your body and burn you up. So if you didn't bow down, you were going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been promoted by Nebuchadnezzar at the request of Daniel. They were in positions of prestige as well. So again, some of the original Babylonian leaders didn't like that. And so when the music played, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a conviction about the word of God and the laws of God, and they refused to bow down. Now, preference would have said, man, I tell you what, I hate to violate God's law, but folk, hey, if we don't, we're going to get burned up. We're going to be killed. We'll just have to pray and we'll go through the motions. No, they're not going to do that. You know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to that false image of Nebuchadnezzar, that great, mighty, tall image? Folk, they knew the Ten Commandments. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew the law of God. And the law of God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second one is that thou shalt not make any graven image and bow down to worship it. And they are not willing to compromise their conviction. They're willing to stand for their conviction and not violate the laws of God and the will of God for their life. And so they didn't. The music played, and they just went about their business. Some of their cohorts of the Babylonians saw that, and man, they went running to Nebuchadnezzar. Now this is going to get real good in just a minute, all right? They went running to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, oh king, we love you. Oh king, you're the best. Oh king, you're such a wonderful man. You played the music and everybody bowed down, except those three Hebrews. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Old Nebuchadnezzar got furious. So he called them to him and he said, did you fellas not bow down when the music played? And that brings us to the text that we read. They said, no, sir, we did not. Nebuchadnezzar was just infuriated. Let's go back to our text in verse 16. Here is the answer that they gave to Nebuchadnezzar. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to answer you. We don't have to answer to you. We're not going to worry about answering to you about this. You ask us why we didn't. We don't have to tell you why. You know why. And he did. So they said, we're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. And then they go on to say this. Now, folks, listen to an example of conviction. Listen to a statement of conviction. It says, if it be so, our God, the true and living God, they're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're talking about the God of creation. They're talking about the same God that we worship today. They're talking about the one and only, the living and true God. They're talking about God Almighty of heaven. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let me paraphrase that, no disrespect to the scriptures. King, we're not worried about this. We're not going to answer you to this. We're not going to make excuses for this. King, our God, who we serve, the true and living God, he'll be able to deliver us out of that fiery furnace. He'll get us out of there. And if he doesn't, that's okay too. One way or another, we're going to be free from you, O king, and we're not going to worry about it anymore. Folks, now that's conviction. Conviction is, well, king, we didn't, and we realize our wrong, and I'm sorry that we did that, and next time we'll do better. We'll do differently. No, these boys are not going to do that. Because they had conviction. So old Nebuchadnezzar, even in his rage and his fury, I think just to see what would happen, he gave them a second chance. So they left his presence there and they went out, and I don't think it was very long, and he told the musicians to strike up the orchestra and they began to play. Man, everybody in Babylon stopped and they bowed down to that great golden image and they lifted their hands up and they worshiped that great golden image. Shadrach and Meshach, I like to see them. I like to think they just kind of stood back and looked. Shook their head at the absurdity and the foolishness of what was going on. Shook their head. All the time, those Babylonians are watching them. Man, as soon as the music stopped up, they go and they tell Nebuchadnezzar, they did it again, king. They did it again. They didn't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar sends his old big tough soldiers and he gathers them up. And says, you guys get the fire going. We're going to show these boys. You get the heater going. You get the furnace fired up. And I'm telling you, we're going to show them. We're going to teach them a lesson. You heat it up 7 times hotter than it normally is. Oh, that's hot. They got the fire going. And the others went and caught Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they bound their feet and they bound their hands. I believe they were tied up where they couldn't get away in any way, shape, form, or fashion. They took them to the fiery furnace. And those old guards and soldiers that had them, it was so hot that they got there, and as they threw them 3 men into the flames, it was so hot that the men that threw them into the flames were killed on the outside. Don't ever defy God, okay? It killed them men. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are thrown into that fiery furnace. And so you think their conviction cost them their life, because that would have been instant death, as hot as it was. If it killed those on the outside, imagine it would have been just instantaneous death for those three men. So they threw them into there. And after just a little while, the fire had begun to calm down. They had to wait a little bit because it couldn't get too close. And old Nebuchadnezzar himself came out. This is one of those I want you to get that visual of, all right? Old Nebuchadnezzar himself comes out and he eases up to that fire, and man, it's still hot. But it's cool down enough he can get close enough there. And he looks in there. Listen to what he said. He looked in there and he, verse 24, chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, astonished. He was taken aback. He's shielding himself in that steel red hot furnace, and it's blazing hot. But he gets close enough that he's able to look into that opening of that furnace. And he looks in there, and he arose in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, or those of the men under him. He got away from that thing right quick, and he ran back over to the guards and to the ones that were in charge of doing all of this and such. And he looked at them and he said, fellas, look here. Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of that fire? And I'm sure they all said, yes, sir. Yes, we did. We threw those three Hebrew fellows in there. It was so hot. Look, we've lost some of our comrades. We've had to drag their body away. It was so hot it killed them as they threw them in. Yeah, we threw them in there. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of that fire? And they answered, said unto the king, true, O king, yes, we did. He answered, here it is, listen to this. He answered and said, lo, he says, oh, my goodness, lo, I see four men. They just threw three in. I see four men four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Woo. Old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're walking around in there in the midst of that. They're not burned up. If you read on in such, and we will in just a minute, we'll find that it didn't hurt them all. You know, I think the only thing that fire burned when it threw them in there were the ropes that bound them up. That's a little of my theology, all right? It burned them ropes off. But, folk, there wasn't a burn where the ropes burned off. I believe when they got them out of there, they didn't even smell like smoke. They were not. Their hair was not singed. Their skin was not red from the heat. They were not harmed in any way whatsoever. Nothing. But the phenomenal thing here is that as Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he said, fellas, didn't we throw three fellas in here? Yes, sir, O king. He said, I see four. They're walking around. They're loose. They're not hurt. And the fourth... And folk, listen, this is God working in the mind and the heart of an old pagan, idolatrous, evil, wicked man. The fourth is like the Son of God. How did he know what the Son of God would look like? How did he know that it might be the Son of God? Folk, the Holy Spirit's giving him instructions. God is working with him. You know who that fourth was? Folk, it's what we call a theophany. A theophany is an Old Testament visualization of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a public visual demonstration of Jesus before he was born in Bethlehem. Remember, He is eternal and He is has been always, is and always will be. He is the I Am and such. And folk, there are occasions in the Old Testament where we have situations where Jesus makes an appearance in a physical body. It's called a theophany, and this is one of them. Folk, Jesus Christ was in the midst of them. They had tremendous conviction to the point that they were willing to give their life and sacrifice their life, have their life taken to stand for what was right in the sight of God. God forbid that we should ever be put in such a position. But let's just suppose this morning, hypothetical, and I pray that it never happens. But let's suppose that in our country, some foreign entity came in and takes over our country. Folk, without the blessing of God, anything is possible. And folk, listen, the further we get away from God, the less blessings we're going to have from Him. But let's suppose a group of foreign entities come in and they band together and they take over our country. And they are communist. They are Islamic. They are whatever. And one of the first rules that they make in their new law-making authority is that there will be no Christianity practiced. There will be no Christianity practiced. No more churches. All of the church facilities in this land are going to be taken over by the government and used for whatever they want. All of the Bibles are going to be, every one they can get their hands on, are going to be confiscated and destroyed. All of the communal meetings like we're having this morning in this worship service will be stopped. If you are caught as a Christian and you're caught practicing Christianity, and if you are caught in a way where you are demonstrating Christianity, you will be arrested and either imprisoned or executed. God forbid that ever happens. If it does, how much conviction will we have? Oh, Brother Sid, that can't ever happen. Well, I hope not. A few years before this happened, these fellas didn't think about this. This wasn't their plan for the future. How much conviction will we have? Will we be able to stand? Would we be able to stand and say, I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what the punishment might be. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to serve Him in His Son, Jesus Christ, that is my Savior. I'm going to praise Him, proclaim Him, and I'm going to continue to worship Him. And if we have to do it in secret, underground, whatever it is, we're going to continue to do that. And they begin to arrest us. Folks, that's conviction. Now, that's an extreme. That's an extreme. Now, I would like for us to be able to say this morning, Brother Sid, I'll do that. And I hope that we think that we would do that and feel that we would do that. But folk, listen, when it gets coming down to either bowing to the old giant image of Nebuchadnezzar or throwing into the fiery furnace, it really makes matters different. That's why conviction has to be so deeply grounded in our heart. We'll talk about that next time. Folk, I'm telling you today, conviction is something that you're going to stand for regardless. How much conviction do we have? How much conviction would we be willing to display? How much of a stand would we be willing to stay? How much of a stand would we be willing to make? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. Now let's look real quickly at the benefits, the blessings of standing for God. Let's look real quickly at what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they stood, and they stood strongly and firmly upon the Word of God and the conviction of God, they were not willing to violate God's law. They were not willing to violate God's will for their life. They refused to bow to the idol worship, the idol image. Folk, because of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. You say, well, that doesn't sound very good. Because of that, they got a personal meeting with Jesus. Let me tell you what, I'd like to have heard the conversation inside that fiery furnace. I'd like to heard that conversation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown in there. And I think just as soon as they're thrown in there, the Lord Jesus Christ is right there with them. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is right in the midst of that flame. And they look around and they're not being hurt. They're not being burned. The flames are all about them and all around them. And them, those three young men and Jesus are having a discussion about something. About how this didn't work like old Nebuchadnezzar thought, did it? I don't know what they were discussing. But I'm telling you, it was a great discussion. They had a personal interaction with Jesus. Folk, listen to me today. The more conviction you have and the greater convictions you have and the more you stand for Jesus Christ and God Almighty, the closer your fellowship and relationship with God is going to be. You want to get close to God? You want to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ? Get in His book, learn it, read it, study it, understand it, and stand for it with a conviction that is immovable and will stand regardless of what the consequences may be. And folk, you'll find that you get real close to God when you do that. You'll find that He is close to you and you're close to Him. I've had people tell me, well, I don't feel like God is close. I just don't feel close to God. They don't have enough convictions to do anything for Him. They don't have any convictions. They don't serve Him. They don't worship Him. They don't come to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. There's no conviction about what He's taught us to do as Christians. Folks, you're not going to have a close fellowship with God. You're not going to have a close fellowship with Jesus Christ when you're like that. If there is no conviction, there will be no fellowship. You might have a relationship, but you won't have any fellowship. Folk, I'm telling you today, conviction will get you an audience with God. And conviction will let you know, because of what you're standing for, that Jesus is right there with you every step of the way. And whatever happens, whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation might be, God is going to be there with you. And God is going to help you. And God is going to protect you. And God is going to provide you. Now, don't forget the attitude of these three Hebrew young men. Their attitude was, God can deliver us out of that fire if He wants to. And if He doesn't, that's okay too. We're still not going to be under your reign anymore, King. We're still going to get out from under your thumb, and we're going to go to be with Jesus. Folk, listen, don't fear what the world can do to the old body. But fear the One who can take your soul. And let's worship and serve Him. Listen, I'd hate to die a martyr's death. I would too, but would we for Jesus? By the way, He did for us. He did for us. Oh my goodness, yes. Greater love hath no man than a man that'll lay down his life for his brother, for his friend. Folk, I'm telling you today, we need conviction. Not only did these young men get a direct meeting with Jesus Christ, but and I love this, because of the conviction of three young men that stood for God's Word and stood for right, in those three young men, because of their conviction, not only was their life spared, not only did they get a personal meeting with Jesus, but they also had a tremendous influence on the evil, wicked, ungodly, pagan king. Listen to what it says as we go on here in chapter 3. Look in verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar saw that, and he saw the four images in there. He said, that fourth man is like the Son of God. He saw that. He was taken aback by that. And I'm telling you what, it impressed him. Listen to what he said in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not the God that's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide made out of gold. That's the true and living God of heaven. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent His angel, Jesus, and delivered His servants that trusted in Him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their body, that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Amen. Ooh, let me tell you what. Don't Nebuchadnezzar get saved? That's a lot of debate about that. His ruling was pretty harsh for those that would denounce God. But I'm telling you what, he recognized God. He knew who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was worshiping, because he had just seen him right in that fire. He had just seen him. He knew that it wasn't his golden image that saved those three young men from that fire. He knew it wasn't something that some of the false gods that the Babylonians worshipped, and they worshipped almost everything. He knew that it wasn't those false gods that got them out of there. He knew it was the God of the Hebrews. He knew it was a God of heaven. And he said, my goodness, everybody is going to worship him. Everybody is going to bow before him. And if you don't, we're going to cut you into pieces and tear your homes down. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. Well, indeed it is. He's a harsh man. But I'm telling you what, he recognized God. He recognized God. Folk, when we today stand with conviction and we stand for God's word and we stand for God's commands to us, will we stand with conviction to do what he has told us to, lost people will be saved. Lost people will come to know the Lord. Lost people will recognize you as a Christian and see that it's a better life than what they have. You've got to have some conviction. When we talk about specific areas of conviction, we'll see some of these things. Finally, the last thing that happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 30, it says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They went from the most hated, the most degraded, most terrible things. They wouldn't worship the king's statue. They went from that to being promoted in the great province of Babylon. They got a powerful position. Folks, listen, conviction paid off for those young men in many, many ways. It led to the lost being saved. It led to people recognizing the true and living God. It demonstrated his power. It demonstrated the fallacy of the false gods and the idolatrous paganism that they were practicing. Folks, I'm telling you what, when we have conviction and we will stand for God, God's will and way will be accomplished. When we stand for God, when we do what God would have us to do, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the dangers, regardless of the circumstances, folk, I'm telling you, when we stand for God, great and mighty things will happen. And one of the greatest things is that personal fellowship that gets closer and closer with God. And it's just like you're right there with him, even in the fiery furnace, even in the lion's den. God will be with you when you stand for what's right. Oh, let's take a stand. You say, well, Brother Sid, we're in church this morning. And indeed you are, and praise God for it. But folk, it's got to go even beyond that. It's got to go further than that. You've got to have some convictions when you get to work in the morning. You've got to have some convictions when you go to the playground with your kids. You've got to have some convictions when you go to the marketplace. You've got to have convictions in your neighborhood. You've got to have some conviction in your home to teach your little ones and your grandchildren. Folk, conviction. These three, four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are some of the greatest examples of men with conviction that you'll find in the Bible. Now, we're going to look at a couple of others in some areas. Folk, listen to me. We need conviction today. We need people that will say, I'm going to serve the Lord, whatever it takes. We need people today with a conviction that says, I'm going to be a part of the Lord's church, whatever it takes. I'm going to stay true to the Word of God. I'm not going to give in to all of the things of the world and the things of the religious world. We need people today that will have a conviction about what God's Word says to us. How's your conviction this morning? How convicted are you about serving God?